Okay, who are you and why are you here?
My name's Brad, and I'm here to...
You could just talk.
Okay, I'm Brad Hodges, and I'm here to make Pete Verdone feel uncomfortable, but I also build frames, and we're showing them here today.
It's hard to make me feel uncomfortable.
I try.
Well, I mean, obviously, we're standing right in front of the epic show bike project. This was going around on the internet, and it's basically the Yeti Ultimate made new.
Yep, I built a modern Yeti Ultimate. I guess the Paul Purple Grupo sort of led me to wanting to build an 80s-themed bike. I also built the Clunker for last year's show, and I kind of had to follow it up with something, so I thought, well, let's do an 80s bike, and if you're going to do an 80s bike, it better be an E-Stay. And then if you're going to do any E-Stay bike, it better be the Yeti Ultimate. But if you're going to take that project on, you're going to do right by Frank the Welder and John Parker. And if you don't, those are two people you really don't want mad at you. And I'm extremely happy that after we got the bike done, I didn't know Parker was going to be at the show. He came by yesterday, and he was more stoked on this bike than I think even I am. And I just even talking about that experience, I get goosebumps. I'm excited. I might start stuttering here a little bit. I don't know. Like, it was awesome. That was the best award I could have gotten, was having that guy come by and just tell me that he loved this bike.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely cool. And, you know, we saw the social media primers for this bike, and I was taken back by how much attention to detail you put into making something that captured the Ultimate. It's obviously colored similarly. There's a lot of similarities, but it's still also, it's a modern bike.
Yes, I tried to make a modern bike. I didn't want it to be a straight ripoff, but I wanted to retain the original styling cues of the Yeti Ultimate and the Accutrax forks while tying in boost spacing, bigger tires. But I still wanted the customer the rider to have the vintage mountain biking experience. So it has mechanical brakes, a 1-to-1 gear ratio, a thumb shifter, and it's fully rigid. I do break it up with the 27.5 by 3.0 tires just to give the rider a little bit more control coming down the hill. I'm really pleased with how it came out. T47 bottom bracket with a White Industries crankset, White Industries boost hub. These are actually one-off hubs that Alec made for us, where they have no visible logo, even though they are engraved. They aren't re-engraved after anodizing so that they would look like the original Anza hubs.
Right.
The Paul Purple Grupo with the mini moto levers and the boxcar stem, again, lends to the look.
You couldn't get King to do some colors, could you?
I tried, but we stuck with turquoise. I think that plays well with the whole bike. And then that led me to requesting some turquoise bits with the Paul stuff, and I think that finished everything off. But when I made the call to request the turquoise bits, they told me it was 1 month out from the show, and it was exactly 1 month to the day that the show opened. And I was like, you know what? Let's run them and see if it comes back in time.
Right. Yeah.
So sometimes you have to take that bet.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you got to ride the lightning.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
my saying. That's what I use a lot. So, you know, we got the WHB bikes.
Yeah, well, it's WHB
looks a
little designs.
Tough.
Yeah.
Designs. You know, you've been, your transition is interesting. You were doing a lot of the 700 CMX type of things, dirt jump sort of world, and then you kind of made the jump into both the Panier touring type of hipster bikes, as well as the, say, more modern-esque shaped mountain bikes with this new brand of yours, or rebranding type of thing. What led up to that?
Well, I was doing the youth-oriented trick bikes for a long time, and as much as I loved building those bikes, I kind of had stopped riding trick, and I was getting into bicycle touring, and I had ridden down the coast from San Francisco to Los Angeles, and that kind of opened my eyes to what's really out there. I enjoy camping. I've been riding my bike up into the mountains to go spend the night in the woods for as long as I can remember it, even from when I was a little kid. So this new thing called bike packing kind of came around, and it's like, all right, you know, maybe we should kind of get into it. And it's definitely something that I gravitate more toward, and I didn't want to be one of those pretentious builders that builds bikes that I don't ride. And if I'm going to build something, I want it to be something that I can put my full attention to detail into. So we did the rebranding. WH Bradford is the name of the company. It's supposed to tie into like the original old world bespoke tailors who you'd go to maybe get a handmade suit. But nowadays, no one's buying suits or wearing that kind of stuff, and people from our generation gravitate toward buying a hand-built bike for them, something that they can keep for the rest of their life and possibly even hand down to their children. So if I'm going to put my name on it, I'm going to build the best bike possible.
So what are you looking to accomplish in your design, like from a design perspective? It looks like you're doing some traditional geometries on the more road-oriented stuff, and a little bit of a more of a curved, lower slung look on your mountain bikes. What's sort of driving your decisions with how you shape your bikes?
Basically, ride performance and ride feel is the way that I've designed every bike. I want the bike to perform to a certain level, and I also want you to have an enjoyable ride. I've ridden other bicycles which look great and maybe have the geo that you think you want, and they don't ride the way that you would expect them to. They don't shift well, and architecture of the cables and the layout isn't correct. And honestly, it's just not a really well-built bike. You have to put time and thought into how the bike's going to function, how it's going to shift, fit, and how the rider's ergonomics are going to work with that frame design. The low slung top tube, bent seat tube, long top tube, slack head angle bike is very indicative to a comfortable ride. They climb like a goat, they descend like a rocket, and they're probably some of the funnest bikes I've ridden to date. I know Pete knows this as well, because his bikes aren't far off of my current geo spec either.
No, I'm just a little bit longer and a little bit like longer travel and everything.
But you know, like I've been drinking that PVD Kool-Aid. I listen.
It's nice when some people listen, even though they don't want to.
It was a long, hard road, but I eventually understood, and I jumped aboard.
It's nice, and we're seeing lots of different shapes coming out of you, and lots of different bikes, like your show bikes. You said the Clunker last year was gorgeous. This Yeti Ultimate theme is gorgeous. You know, when you sit down and set your mind to it, your show bikes really go an extra mile, and it's really cool to see.
Thank you very much. And these are show bikes, but they also all are bikes that are built either for customers or that will be ridden and will be sold eventually.
I guess I'm thinking the theme bikes.
They are very themed bikes. And yeah, I came from that world. We built a bike for Disney. I was contracted by the Disney company to be the second builder ever to build a bike specifically for the character Mickey Mouse. The first builder was Ignaz Schwinn in 1964. Kind of good company to be in.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad. And I like doing the art bikes. I come from a fine art world, being an illustrator and then also a painter. As a kid, I got a lot of attention early on. And then the day that I saw my first teal GT was the day that I fell in love with the steel frame design.
So is that how you got your start sort of shaping the world around you? You went to school for illustration or design? Is that where you came out?
Yeah, I mean, I was the prodigy art kid from a very early on, so I spent all my afternoons after elementary school in...
Did your mom think you were the greatest?
Yeah, she still asked me if I would start painting again. I just wish I had the time. But
okay, so you're into it?
Yeah, into it. I was doing the art classes. I was learning how to cartoon and draw. I really wanted to be a cartoonist, and just kept drawing and drawing. Really loved doing it, and I got into graphic design and illustration and traditional drafting, and I did my first bicycle design in sixth grade. It took me a year and a half to finish it up, and at the beginning of eighth grade, I actually sold that design to Alan Brown at Ozone Bikes.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
So yeah,
when did you get to see it made?
No, I don't think it ever made it to production. I did see an Ozone prototype pop up on BMX Museum about a year and a half ago, which had some of the characteristics of that design into it, but the guy wanted so much money for it, there was no way I was going to buy it, and it was already so hammered, I would have like hated seeing the thing in my shop.
So where what you studying in college or something like that?
College, traditional drafting, computer-aided drafting, basic machine tech, CNC machining, and then I did an apprenticeship under an art director at Wieden Kennedy to do art direction. And then I also worked under one of the head engineers at GKN Sintered Metals to do my 3D modeling apprenticeship.
Okay, and that then you what you studied all those things, and then what happened after that?
I kept building bikes, and I didn't go get a real job like a smart person would have.
So you just skip the whole real job thing entirely.
Yeah, and I bikes. I don't have a formal degree. I know how to do everything, but I don't have that paper degree. So when you apply, and a lot of times it's hard to get past that initial hit at HR. But I like to build what I like to build, and I treat this like a real job. Design all the paint schemes that you see, all the crazy stuff. I draw that stuff out, and I send it to the painters, and I find the correct artist who can use their skills to make my dreams a reality.
Cool. What parts on your bike are you designing specifically for your use and either have made or make in-house?
Oh, the list is long and distinguished. Let me try to think. Scott at Porcelain Rocket has always made custom bags for us. He's been a great guy to work with. Jeff Tideken at Monkey Like Shiny has helped us quite a bit, helping me with the clamshell molds for the Yeti top tube. His personal gravel race bike has an extensive list of custom parts, custom water jet cut brake rotors to resemble the original amp rotors that were also Blanchard ground afterward down to 0.70, the correct thickness for a brake rotor. He made a custom T47 eccentric bottom bracket for a square taper Philwood BB. And then he also made the Thompson monkey lever, which is the little actuating lever that goes underneath the seat to drop the dropper post instead of having to run the external cable. Custom roll-off inserts for the Nova modular dropout that they sell from Taiwan. I also designed my own tube sets. I worked with Randy at Verriwall this year, and I actually designed a few tubes that made it to the Verriwall line.
I was talking with them yesterday. I'm going to try to send them some files.
Randy's a great guy. He's definitely someone you want to be working with, and go check out his tubing because he's really trying to bring some great stuff to the bike industry. I've also been working with True Temper for years. Our cyclocross bike, our adventure cross bikes, and my B Plus bike all feature a top tube that came out of the development section of Nemesis Project, and that was a 34.9 tube that tapers much down like a baseball bat would to one inch at the seat tube, and then we ovalize it at the seat tube back to 1 1/4.
That's a pretty cool tube.
Can we start a second? Tyler, are you going to the van? Can you grab some beers?
Yeah, sure. Do you have the key to the van?
I thought I'd give it to you.
For those at home, beer is a very hot commodity here in Salt Lake City.
Yes, beer. We had to bring in our own. So I was talking about the top tube and how we have this custom conical butted top tube made, and then we ovalize it for the cyclocross and the B Plus bikes. It's a good tube, and the reason we did that was to reduce denting in the center sections, because a lot of the trick guys, when they would jump or like ditch their bikes, that was the one spot where the bike would end up getting dented. That tube eventually became lighter and thinner, and then it made its way up to the hand-built line.
Cool. And you're doing your own head tubes. I'm looking at this, and it's a straight 1 1/8.
Yeah, straight 1 1/8 with an integrated bearing to work with the Ritchie cyclocross fork, which has the 45 crown race molded into the carbon. If you're looking for a really solid, clean front end and you don't want to run a tapered steer tube, definitely consider integrated bearings with the Ritchie fork. It's just as stiff as any of my tapered forks. It tracks well, and it remains a very clean, giving the bike a clean front end look.
What are you looking to start doing a little bit more of in the future, or where do you think, if it was up to you, how would your bike start shaping, you know, independent of consumer wants?
Being able to retain the specific production models that we have, the Gazos light touring and gravel bike, the Adventure Cross, the Long Ridge B Plus Fun bike, and the cyclocross bike as production models, but then working with the client and doing custom geo and, you know, kind of transitioning into more of like the true bicycle company instead of just the small hand-built guy.
Cool. Thank you very much. I appreciate talking to me.
Thank you for the opportunity, Pete. It's always great talking to you as well.